Good morning, and Happy New Year. It's great to see y'all. Glad y'all came this morning, and looking forward to what the Lord has to say to us as we have our first service. It's kind of interesting, you know, Sunday morning fell on the first day of the year, so I think God has some great things to speak to us today. So if you have a Bible, you can open it to the book of 2 Corinthians. It'll be in chapter 4. That's going to be our primary scripture for this morning. How many of you make New Year's resolutions? One, two, three. Okay, three of you. Great. Well, that's super. I don't either. So, and you know, I was thinking about what does, you know, New Year's, we have this date, and in reality, it's a date we remember. Actually, in reality, it's a date that the significance of the birth of Christ, and then set the calendars at zero from that day, though it's a little bit off in this and that and those things. But it really, in itself, doesn't have any particular Christian significance in itself. But it is a great time that we can remember and look back over the years. You know, a lot of people look at it just to reset their own personal clocks or renew commitments or make life changes like we talked about last week. Or, you know, most people decide they want to lose weight. How many of you decide you want to lose weight this year? Is that one of your New Year's commitments? I read something like 38% of Americans want to lose weight. That's about how many are overweight. So it's a great time. But I think most of all, it's a perfect time to focus, to renew our perspective. It's about perspective and the year ahead of us. What's your perspective? Or as the wise one always said in the TV show I used to watch, focus, grasshopper. Yeah, you guys, how many of you remember that one? Good, thank you. Well, you know, it's also a good time to think back of 2011 or the previous year and what happened. What happened in the world at large? I mean, some pretty significant things have gone on. We had the end of the war in Iraq. We have the ongoing war in Afghanistan, and many American service people are there, and other people are there working. We have North Korea leaving an uncertainty in this world with Iran and its threats on Israel and the whole Israel situation. The world's unstable. We have the ongoing economic crisis that isn't centered on us only, but the world itself. And in a way, it's affecting, in many of the places I work, the poorest of the poor. There's a food shortage as food prices go up, and these people who already only make $1 or $2 or $3 a day are less and less able to feed their families. We have things like natural disasters. We had the horrific weather and tornadoes like in Joplin this year. Remember that? And we had a 9.0 earthquake off the coast of Japan, and a tsunami that was just significant. It was a tremendous wave that did such destruction. I'd never seen it. I had a chance to go there, and one of the places I went. And, you know, all these things go on. And the Lord has been opening the doors of the hearts of men and women around the world. There's one key element that always baffles me about God. It's this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, right? Actually, I didn't think of that title. My wife thought of that title. I had something like Showing Your Light in the New Year. And she said, that's really dumb. Why don't you do something? Okay, well, okay. Well, it did sound kind of dumb. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Yes, honey. But there's been a lot of great things that happened. But normally we remember the more difficult things. But what were some of the great things that happened? Even here at Calvary Chapel Orlando, many things occurred. Many people came and many people went. Many people have come through and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached. Good things happened. We now have a church home where we don't have to have a temporary dwelling, well, relatively speaking, as permanent as it gets here in this world. We have a building here and a mortgage. Good and bad, right? How about your personal life? What's gone on in your life? What good things? What's happened in your family? I know some of you personally, I know that you've had some very difficult a very difficult year, difficult times this year. And I've watched many of you be just such an encouragement to me as you've shined through them. You've come through them. You've held tough. You've kept the faith. You've kept your hope, even though inside you're hurting, and maybe even physically, emotionally, you're suffering, and maybe your family's gone through some hard times. But you know that God's here. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is Christ-centered New Year. Now, one other thing I think about 2012. Apocalypse, right? Hey, how many of you saw the movie 2012? Nobody. I didn't either. I just heard about it. I saw the previews. Yeah, I mean, in Hollywood, you got Nostradamus, those people who read the Mayan calendar. You know, I looked at a Mayan calendar once, and I didn't understand anything. So it's all Mayan to me. And so you got all these apocalyptic ideas, you know, and who knows? I mean, as I remember my very first Calvary Chapel New Year service, Chuck Smith standing up there in 1982, and he said that he gave a whole great service about the end, the world and the situation with Israel. And he said 1982 would be a very good year for the Lord to return. Well, that's 30 years ago. 29, yep. Well, I'll stand up here today and say 2012 would be a very good year for the Lord to return. So if all these people and their apocalyptic prophecies are right, whatever they're reading, it's I'm good with it. I'm ready. And we have our marching orders from Jesus. We have our marching orders. It's not to be fearful. It's not to seek it through the Mayan calendar or some bizarre little guy named Nostradamus or other people who have all sorts of ideals and ideas of what the end's going to be and what's going to happen. We have our marching orders from Jesus Christ, and it's very simple. It's very simple. He said, watch and be what? Ready. Watch and be ready. And he also said, occupy till I come. Be about your business. Do your work. Your work of the gospel, your work in your life. Be occupied. It's very simple. Don't run around and don't worry about all these other things that people may be talking about and trying to stir up fear. Because He is faithful. God is faithful. He will fulfill all His promises, and we should never fear. Well, anyway, finishing up the marching orders, I do want to encourage you to look forward and maybe look at this message today and look at some marching orders that maybe might help you set some directives and direction for your new year. And maybe these new year resolutions might turn more from losing weight and stopping doing this or that to some spiritual ones that might enable you and empower you to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this world that is in turmoil. The world is in turmoil, and it needs us. God has called you and I to be His mouthpiece in this world. So let's go ahead and look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 1. The centerpiece of this, I want to say also, is in verse 6. And it was funny because, I'll say this, I was Christmas Day, we're opening our multitude of presents and getting stuff all over the place. And Josiah pulls out this book, and it's Jesus, I can't remember the name of it, Jesus Words or Jesus. It's something about, it was just a devotional. And he opens it up, he goes, Dad, listen to this. And he reads, for it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I said, whoa. That's cool. I like that. And so that struck me, and that's how, as I was thinking through what to speak on this morning, and the whole title around This Little Light of Mine, that's the verse that we're going to center on today. But let's look at verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received, we do not lose heart. Therefore. And as the old saying goes, if you see a therefore, you ask, what's it there for? And Paul had previously spoken in the previous chapter of 2 Corinthians, the fact that this is the ministry of a new covenant, a new agreement, that the old law, the law that brought death because it brought about the guilt of sin and showed man his guilt before God, and was impossible for man to achieve the state of righteousness, to have eternal life with God. And yet God opened a way through the ministry of this new covenant, through the glorious Spirit, through the Spirit of life, to bring life and light to mankind and to give him hope. And he uses us as his ministers. Now, sometimes people say, well, you know, Pastor Gibb, he's a minister. Yes, he is. But so are you. And the minister basically means a servant. We are servants of God. Now, a servant, basically, as much as we don't like it because we're free, I do what I want. At least that's what my 15-year-old tells me. Not really. I straightened that one out. Now I'm going to get it. God's going to get me for that. You know, but a lot of times we are hyper independent. But we are servants of God, and the servant does what the master says. And in fact, at one point, the Bible tells us that when the servant's done all that his master says, he says, "Hey, I'm just an unworthy servant. I only did what I was required to do." Now, with that said, at the same time, us as servants, we get tremendous benefit, tremendous rewards, and we'll see those in a minute. But this is the ministry that we have, and we have this ministry, and God in his mercy has given us this ministry. He's brought us out of darkness into light, given us the light, given us the hope, given us a place and a purpose in this world, and he sends us forth with the message, and therefore we do not lose heart. And Paul, we're going to start this message today with focusing, looking at that, because I want you to know it's a difficult thing to be serving Jesus Christ. And many people lose heart. Some of you have lost heart, I'm sure, because we all go through ups and downs in life. There are good times and bads and things that affect us in many ways. But do not lose heart. And we're going to see how to do that in a minute. You know, the New Living Translation says, never give up. Never give up. Give up. Even as hard as it gets, friends, never give up. Even when you're down, never give up. Because Christ is always with you. His Spirit dwells within you. There is a tomorrow. There is a hope. And there is an eternity. And the reward is coming. So we have this ministry of the new covenant. And we are God's representatives of this covenant. And it's an exceedingly glorious covenant. It's one that gives life and hope. Let's look at verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We have renounced the hidden things of shame. No secret lies, friends. Do not have a shameful secret life. Don't think that you'll get away with it. I have a saying that I tell other people who travel around the world with me. I say, the world is a small place. Therefore, behave yourself. Too many times there are things that we may think we can do on the sly or in the secret, or hold things in our heart. And God says no. There's activities that are going on that need to stop. No secret lies. We renounce these things. We renounce the hidden things of shame. We don't walk in craftiness. We don't deceive people. We're not deceitful, and we do not distort the word of God. But we tell the truth. We live in the truth. We manifest the truth. We are living examples of what's supposed to be true. Therefore, we have to, you can't be a lie and the truth. And so God says he calls us to be manifestations or living examples of the truth. Now, like I said, it was funny because another thing that happened this morning is we were getting ready to pray. And Mike Gavela says to me, he goes, I just love to hear you share your heart. And I said, that's only the part that I let you see. Paul says our heart's desperately wicked and deceitful. And we know we need the grace of God to continually wash us of our sins as we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we must confess and we have to acknowledge him. And we must repent of those sins in turn. We renounce those hidden things of darkness. And we live a life of truth. And consciousness in the sight and commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. We are the representatives and ministers of God. In fact, one of the qualifications of ministry is that we would have a good reputation, even from those who are without the body of Christ. So, you know, another thing about living a life of lies is it's discouraging, isn't it? You become discouraged. If you live that secret life of lies and deception, you place yourself where you start wanting to give up. You lose your hope. You become fearful. You lose your trust in God and your ability to serve God. Let's look at verse 3 through 5. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled from those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your bondservants, for Christ's sake. So, the gospel is veiled to those, it's hidden. Like in the Old Testament, they had the veil over the Holy of the Holies, and it was hidden. It was the presence of God was hidden from the sight of men. And even today, that those who are perishing and are following the God of the age who has blinded them, they're perishing. They need the light of the gospel. They need this beautiful phrase, the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. What a beautiful thing. And that's what we're representing. You know, one thing to keep in mind, the enemy is the god of this age, Satan. That is Satan. He is running a lot of things now. He's creating tremendous havoc in the lives of man. He is trying to hurt God by hurting you. Do not follow him. Do not be deceived. You don't have to be deceived. You don't have to follow him. You have the truth before you this day. You have the truth in God. Those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, you have the truth in your heart. And you know what to do most every time. You just need to do it. And the enemy is not the blind. Please know that the non-believers that stand out, who maybe even attack, are not the enemy. The Muslims are not the enemy. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the atheists, the cults, they are not the enemy. The God of this age. Therefore, the blind are the blind. They're the deceived. And they need hope and life. They need light. Verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the light of God. It's the God that commanded light. Light. And there was light. The God from all creation, this light, he caused light to shine out of the darkness. And you know, light dispels darkness. And as God has shined into your heart, the light, this little light of mine, that little light of yours is the glorious light of the eternal God in the face of Jesus Christ. It isn't just, it's not little in the sense of power, it's little in the sense of individual. At the same time, it carries an infinite amount of power. You yourself carry the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of God. So when you speak the truth into the lives of anybody, no matter how powerful, great, small, how much they hate or love God, you can speak the power of God, the eternal God, from your being into their lives, and you can make a tremendous difference. This is what the world needs today. The world doesn't need people all going to church and going home and living whatever just a kind of a mundane, safe life. God wants you to step out and take a risk. Why does he say so many times, don't be afraid? Why did Paul keep saying, we don't give up, we never give up, we never give? He says it more than once. He says it at the beginning of this chapter, and he says it at the end again, and he says it other times. And why did God have to remind Moses and Joshua not to be afraid and to fear not, to be bold and of good courage? Because it's hard. And we're going to see a couple things that happened to Paul. And we know that Paul suffered many things. In fact, a guy a great man of God named Alan Redpath wrote a book on 2 Corinthians called Blessings Out of Buffetings, and it's a wonderful read. I'd encourage it. But that's so much of Paul's life, blessings out of buffetings. And the way that he endured this was having a proper perspective of his of the purpose of his life today and the hope of his life tomorrow. In our scripture reading, we read Matthew in chapter 5, and it was so many things that applied across this section of scripture. But remember that Jesus told his disciples, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor can they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let your light so shine." So there is something there where Jesus commanded them. It wasn't a request. It wasn't say, "I'm going to make your light shine." He says, "Let it shine," because it's there. It's there. Dwelling in you, again, is the Spirit of God who's put the light of the gospel of the glory of Jesus in you. And somehow, some way, it's just a matter of you letting your light shine. Let's read verse 7 through 12. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you." So I would say a good starting point for all of this would be recognizing with humility our humanity. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Earthen vessel is just a clay pot, just a regular old household clay pot that was used for all kinds of basic service uses. That's all we are. We're just a clay pot. I mean, some clay pots look better than other clay pots, but basically it's just a clay pot. And you know, where a lot of places I travel, I see a lot of clay pots, and I go, "That's a nice clay pot." And they get broken, and then they, you know, but it's just, that's all we are. We're fragile clay pots. But inside is the treasure. So when Paul says, you know, physical exercise and all the beauty techniques that we spend money and life and hours and hours and hours on, and hours. You know, I'm trying to get to the bathroom. Hours and hours. I'm just kidding. Just kidding, honey. It's only minutes. But we spend... this all profits a little. It's nice. It's good. Do that. I'm all for it. You know, weight loss programs, Slim Fast and Atkins and all that. Great. Do it. But your spiritual and your godly exercise profits a lot. And we have to exercise ourselves unto godliness. It's like faith is something that's strengthened like muscles. They don't just, you know, a lot of us sit there and think, "Well, we're going to go run a marathon." I've been thinking about that next week. And I haven't practiced. I haven't trained. But I'm going to do it. You know, it's like all of a sudden we think, well, we can do it. We watch guys on, maybe only guys do this. I watch a football game and I think, yeah, you know, I could probably do that sort. I could almost do that. No, I couldn't. And watch those guys run into those huge... You ever stand up to a football player? Holy mackerel. It's like, bink. Broken. But we exercise ourselves unto godliness. We must let our light shine. We must be there and be ready to stand. And we, you know what? We go out there and we get knocked down. We stand up. We fall, trip a little bit. And God doesn't allow us to stumble. We'll not be cast down. He'll lift, pick us up. He'll always keep us going. But we got to do it. It's a choice. God's not going to make you shine. But you can. You can. It's your choice. Or in earthen vessels. And we see Paul talking about being hard pressed, not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. He's persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but he's not destroyed. I could just, Paul, takes a beating and keeps on, ticking, or however that thing went. He kept getting, he took so much for the gospel of Jesus Christ, but he said he never, ever quit. Let's look at verse 13 and 15 through 15. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith that the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. We know that God, who raised Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory. So here we are, we're dying on behalf of others in order to be a witness of Christ. And Paul says, but we continue to preach because I believed God. Do you believe God? Do you believe these things in this book? Do you believe it? Are you ready to stand on it? Are you ready to lay down for it? Are you ready to die for it? Are you ready to give for it? I believe God, so I spoke. And when he spoke, he got persecuted and beaten and shipwrecked and all those things that happened to Paul. And same thing with many of you. So you are servants of God and you've spoken out in the name of Christ and you've lost friends and family. You've maybe even sacrificed many other things that we'll never know. I know people personally around the world whose lives are at risk for speaking. They believe and they speak and they die. They believe and they speak and they're cast out of their families. They have no means of resources for them or their family. Faith is the essential. Faith is what gets us to look. Faith is what gets us to get our eyes on eternity and the rewards that God has for us that are coming. Now he says, we know. It's another key phrase. There's a certainty here that has Paul locked in. This is certainty here I want you to lock yourselves into and looking forward to 2012. We know, and here he says that the Lord Jesus, that God who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us up with Jesus and present himself along with you. We're all going together. There's a time coming. There's a day coming when the Lord's going to say, this is it. We're done. Let's go. And those who are dead will rise first. And those of us who are alive and remain will rise up together and be with Christ forever. There's a great day of judgment coming where he'll take all the believers in the bema seat of Christ and he'll say, come on in. Well done, good and faithful servant. And thank God that all the rotten things I've done will just burn up like straw and a stubble and all that. But the precious things, the gold and the silver and those things that are valued I've done, God will reward us and you and I, and together we'll be there together and we're going to be rejoicing. We're going to join the angels in the praise and the worship of God in the presence of God on his throne. It's going to be a great and glorious day, and we've got to keep the goal in mind. We've got to keep focus. We've got to keep the proper perspective, because if we get off and our Christianity becomes a bunch of do's and don't do this, do that, don't do this, don't make this person happy. Oh, I don't. We are looking and focusing on Christ. And when we do that, we will manifest the life of Christ and we will live the truth, because our heart will be set on the things of honor and the things that God would have for us. Well, let's look at verse 16. Here's my phrase I love. Therefore, what? We do not lose heart. And the New Living Translation again says, that is why we never give up. That's why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, or even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So here we are again. never give up. I think it's interesting, the focus again, the things that are eternal, the things which are seen are temporary. Everything you can see, touch, smell, hear are temporary. Hebrews reminds us that the faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things not seen. All that we strive for, which looks silly to the world, is not tangible, is not seen. But all that we see is only, it's all temporary. And I like it that he, in that light, he says, for our present troubles are small. They're not going to last very long. Sometimes when you're in the middle of a painful situation, it seems like this is going to last forever. I'm never going to get out of this. But you will. You will. And Paul says it's just temporary. It won't last very long. So we fix our gaze on the things which cannot be seen. In Colossians in chapter 3, I'm going to read the first part of this to you. He says, if then you were raised with Christ. Yep, that's us. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. What does that look like in your mind's eye? Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right. What things? The eternal rewards, the glory, the praise of God, the angelic host, all those things we just described. Put that in your mind and set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So really, in all reality, we should be dying to ourselves, as Jesus also told his disciples. If any man or a woman come after me, he must what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And take up his cross daily, it says in the Gospel of Luke, and follow me. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So fix our gaze on the things of heaven and let's set our priorities. Focus, grasshopper. I mean, I hope you can lose weight this year. I hope that you can get a new job this year. I hope that you can get your house clean this year. I hope you got all those things that you want to do this year. That's great. But I want to say, one, never give up. Two, remember and be committed to your ministry. The ministry of life, the ministry that God has given you in His mercy. Three, renounce the hidden things of shame. Renounce them. Put them away. Now. Live in the truth. Four. Five, remember, put this, this is a good memory verse. Put this to your memory. It is God who commanded, it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That would be a good thing to remember this year. Also remember, it's not about you. You're just a vessel of clay and a wonderful treasure hidden in you. So when it's not about you, it becomes a lot easier when it's all about Jesus. Do not let the adversary stop you from proclaiming the good news. And make sure the trouble that you endure is for the gospel and not because you've done something stupid. Remember, God is not unfaithful, and He will not forget your labor of love, and He will greatly reward you. He will. And 10, never give up. Let's pray.